Tonight, there have been several outages in recent weeks as the war with Hamas continues. Earlier, the Palestinian president told America's top diplomat he wanted an immediate ceasefire. That call's been echoed by Jordan's foreign minister, Ayman Safadi, who's concerned about the hardline attitude of some Israeli politicians.
Today, a sitting Israeli government, a member of the Israeli cabinet, calls publicly for nuking Gaza. Wipe Gaza out from the face of this earth. Kill 2.4 million people. And that should explain why people have lost faith in peace.
The Deputy Prime Minister says he's hopeful the Rafah crossing linking Gaza with Egypt will reopen soon so more British nationals can leave. More than 100 were able to get out in recent days, but the crossing was temporarily closed yesterday. Police in Hamburg say they've rescued a child following a hostage standoff at the city's airport. Officers arrested a man after 18 hours. It's thought Thames Water has now identified the cause of a fault at a treatment plant in Surrey, which has cut off water to thousands of homes in and around Guildford. The county council's declared a major incident, while people have been seen queuing for bottled water in car parks. Liverpool can go second in the Premier League with a win at Luton. Live to Simon Dalling at Kenilworth Road.
Yeah, they're going to miss that opportunity as it stands. 18 minutes left, still Luton 0, Liverpool 0. Darwin Núñez has just missed one of those chances that it would be easier for him to score than miss. He was there, 5 yards out, leant back, scooped it over from Mo Salah's header. Liverpool starting to get frustrated. Luton look a little bit dangerous on the break, but still 0-0.
Aston Villa lost 2-0 at Nottingham Forest earlier. In the Scottish League Cup, Rangers are into the final after a 3-1 victory over Hearts. That's the latest. I'm Kat Suave.
This is Phoenix FM.
Two million people applied, but only one person got through. DJ Nigel. It's time to face the music.
The best soul, funk and disco on a Sunday night in Essex.
Nigel, he's a legend.
From a studio somewhere far, far away, you find the best soul, funk and boogie. Here is the man himself, Nigel Fitzmaurice.
Ah, there we are. Oh, the girls said sensation. What was it they said? Anyway, say it.
Good. Yes, right. We've got a right good show for you tonight, yeah. Coming up in a few minutes' time, hopefully it'll all work. We've got Simon Brodkin, yeah. At the Princess Theatre coming up very soon. That's his Screwed tour. And in the studio we have Victoria Antoine. In the studio talking motherhood. And we also have John from the Irons supporting food banks as well. Hold tight. We're going in. Yep.
Nigel, what's occurring?
I got love for you if you were born in the 80s, the 80s. I've got hugs for you if you were born in the 80s, the 80s. I'll do things for you if you were born in the 80s, the 80s. I've got hugs for you if you were born in the 80s. Yeah.
There we are. It's Calvin Harris, Back in Time. Yes, it was. Back in the 80s. Why not? So acceptable in the 80s. I only put that one on because I was in a bit of a dilemma. See, noisy Sunday night, you know, it's always going to be my world. Sunday night, my own little planet flying around space, that's me. And, of course, as you know, it's my sanctuary on a Sunday night for 2 hours. So tonight then we have Victoria Antoinette in the studio. Lovely French name, that. She's lovely. And and in a few minutes' time, hopefully, if all goes to plan, we'll be talking to Simon Brodkin, and he is an illusionist and so on, and, also a comedian. And that's coming at the Princess Theatre very soon indeed. He's from Camden as well. So that's all happening, and, of course, we're going to be talking as the Irons supporting the food banks as well. Very nice. This is a tune. So when I go and watch Essex, somewhere outside of East London, that is, yeah. Cricket, this is one of the tunes they play quite regularly.
Narrow to the heart. I never kissed a mouth that tastes like yours. Strawberries and something more. Oh yeah, I want it all. Lipstick on my guitar.
Oh.
Fill up the engine, we can drive real far. Go dancing underneath the stars. Oh yeah, I want it all. Got me feeling like I wanna be that guy. I wanna kiss your eyes. I wanna drink that smile. I wanna feel like I, like my soul's on fire. I wanna stay up all day and all night. Yeah, you got me singing like ooh, I love it when you do it like that. And when you're close up, give me the shivers. Oh baby, you wanna dance till the sunlight cracks. And when they say the party's over, then we'll bring it right back. And we'll say ooh, I love it when you do it like that. And when you're close up, give me the shivers. Oh baby, you wanna dance till the sunlight cracks. And when they say the party's over, then we'll bring it right back. Into the car, on the backseat in the moonlit dark. Wrap me up between your legs and arms.
Ed Sheeran, that's a funky song for Ed Sheeran, isn't it, really?
Shiver.
Victoria's in the studio, she's shivering, but she's chilling out now. She'll be fine, honestly. Bless her. She's got John on her arm, and there's no problem, yeah? Hang on. Let me do that. Right, you're going to talk?
Yeah.
Go on.
I was going to say, I'm a bit like a swan tonight. I'm calm on the outside, but not on the inside.
See, no problem at all. You've been told everything is absolutely fine. So in a few minutes' time, we'll be having a chat for a few minutes, just quickly about the show that's turning up in Clacton very soon indeed. And then a little bit after that, we will be talking about this fantastic book called Motherhood. Absolutely brilliant. And another book coming up in a little while, and we'll also be talking about the Irons supporting food banks as well. This is amazing.
I'm
Nigel, he's a legend.
Myself, I'd give plenty time to all these decisions lying in my mind. Holding hands or put my arms around her waist, neither one of these two will I try and face. Taking my time to work the problem out, yet trying to convince her that there is no need for doubt. Think deep within and remember when we first met, we were only friends. Throw a kiss or try to taste her tender lips. Will these be the factors that will make our life a trip? But just in case things don't settle well with her, I'll say that I'm sorry and keep hoping for the best. How to go? Is she mine? I want to know. So don't think no.
Must decide how to go.
Is she mine? I want to know.
Cause it's head-on collision.
Must decide how to go.
Marvellous song that is. Way back, late 70s there. Heatwave. They did Boogie Nights as well. You remember that? Boogie Nights. So, mind-blowing decisions, yeah. We're going to be talking about that sort of thing very soon. I love this last bit. Hold on.
Phoenix FM.
That'll be us then. Right, okay, so I'm going to make a phone call in a minute and we'll be talking to Simon. But very quickly, we've got a song lined up for Tony Turner as well. Just let me quickly do this one and where is it now? Where is it? Hang on. Right, so sorry, that's me, isn't it? Oh, it always happens to me. Right, Nigel, can you do a shout out to Kelly Harrison, Jaden, and Caitlin, please? Who are listening from Lou in Cornwall. Hello, also in that sort of area, not far away really, in Poole in Dorset, that is, of course, Lisa Martin. Hello to you. Hello to David, who's here. Donna, Caitlin, and of course, Kia up there in Scarborough. So I'm going to make a phone call in a minute, but first is Macy Gray, especially for our very learned colleague, Mr. Tony Turner.
Keep feet. When will they go from here? When will they stop? I believe that fate has brought us here, and we should be together, babe. But we're not. Seem all right and smile when you leave, but my smiles are just a front, just a front.
Having a bit of trouble here, but never mind. Okay, so that's Macy Gray and I Try, especially for you, Tony. I understand that there's videos of that flying backwards and forwards. Can you not interrupt my show, please? Would you mind not? So that interview looks like it's not going to happen, so I do apologise. Right, so anyway, in a few minutes' time, we will be having a chat with some very, 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 very important people indeed. But here's a bit of Fats and Small for you now. Which is called Turn Around. How did I do that? That's amazing. It wasn't on my list, but it is now. Hold tight. We're going in. Woo-hoo!
FM.
Oh, Nigel.
Hey! What's wrong with you? You're looking kind of down for me. Cause things ain't getting over. Listen to what I say. Got to turn around.
Okay then, so we are so pleased tonight to have a lovely lady all the way from the east end of London, and this is as far as she's been for a very long time. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome. Tony says, have you got your passport?
I have got my passport.
That's all right. Yeah, it was at Brook Street roundabout where she had to hand it over.
Yeah.
So with me in the studio is Victoria Antoinette.
Yes.
And you've wrote this amazing book called Motherhood. Yeah?
Motherhood, yeah.
Yeah. And it's effectively from the very early 80s up to present day.
And so,
give us a little bit of an insight into what it's about, really.
Right. So I wanted to write a book that showed an emphasis on youth violence in Newham and how poverty affects things. And, yeah, so I've done it all myself. I've wrote this book from scratch. Never written a book before, never published a book before, so it was quite a gamble. And, yeah, it's been good. I've enjoyed every step of it.
So in the the beginning of the book, like you say, it's all about poverty. Is that from your own experience as well?
Yes, I think growing up in East London, we wasn't rich. We kind of was a little bit poor, but they were happy days. But I think now things have changed quite significantly for children. There's a lot of poverty which leads to gang violence, parents working 24/7 to put money on the table, and I've seen a huge increase.
It's a completely different world up there now.
Yeah, completely.
Because even around when you was taken into the famous Blind Beggar, all around there now, it's all what I would call yuppie pads.
And that was
never like that before.
Yeah, no. I mean, for us growing up, we was lucky that we didn't have knife violence or anything like that. We could play out. We had the best childhoods, really.
Yeah.
But now, I think London has changed significantly. We're seeing stabbings every other day, and it's just becoming the norm, which is quite sad, really.
I mean,
really.
This is one thing you probably do appreciate a little bit in London. I was from Croydon, South East London, and now the gangs are all to do with postcodes.
Yes, yeah.
And like it could be E16, which is West Ham, and that sort of, and then E17. And what's that? No, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
We're all London children, but we're dictated by postcodes. And I think with motherhood, I really wanted to put the perspective from the female's point of view. A lot of these stories do not get told. So that's what I've tried to do, and I've done it from the mum's perspective and the daughter's perspective as well. So the book has two sections, so you can kind of see how hard it is to be a mum raising children in London, and also from the child's perspective, if you haven't got the new trainers and the Nike and all the designer things, you know, where do you kind of go to get that money? And I think that a lot of gangs kind of play on that.
Definitely. I come across this book, as obviously Tony sort of got in, chatted with, and obviously you sent me a copy of it. You've lived, you've worked in the East End of London, you've spent over 15 years working in childcare and young people, all that time. You was involved in other stuff at COVID time as well. But there's a lot of stories that need to be told from all this.
There is, and I think my passion is to reduce youth violence, and I think it's something that, you know, we've seen an increase year on year with young people obviously losing their lives. And, I just think that we need to kind of get the stories out there, make parents aware of what's going on and where to access support. I do a lot of work with St Giles, and they are just amazing. They're a really great charity because they're ex-gang members. They're people that have actually been through the system themselves, and I think that young people do open up to them more. So I find they're just amazing. They help me a lot with a lot of young people that I deal with. I refer to them.
Yeah, that's good. So that, you know, we don't want to over talk about that.
Yeah.
In a way, this book is a bit about, so it's a tale of love.
Yeah.
It's about life.
Yeah.
It's about family and everything else. And you've portrayed the motherhood where the mother is actually trying.
Yeah, she's trying her best. And she has to, you know, get help at the end and not be embarrassed to ask for help. So there's a lot of complex themes kind of running through it, but, yeah, there's a good story at the end of it.
And,
a good outcome.
Yeah. So give us a little bit of an insight into the book, how it follows through as you go. So it's East End life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's from poverty all the way through, and it's the mum and the daughter.
Yeah, so she's a single mum. Mm-hmm. She didn't have a lot of family support around her, and she tries. She tries really hard, as you can see in the book. And she works. She works long hours, and she tries to, you know, do her best for her child. But she does reach that point where she does need to ask for help.
I think that... sorry about that. That was me. I think that what you're doing is amazing.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
With the book, for a lot of people who want to work, do their own thing, and especially in the east of London, some of the estates there are so run down now that it's appalling.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't seem to be getting any help.
Well, I think... what we were chatting about before we come on here, my book is actually set in Stratford, the Carpenter's Estate.
Yeah.
And we're going to be going there this week to drop off some food parcels for the food bank. So things haven't really improved that much. We was there Saturday and we were surrounded by all these new buildings, the new V&A, lots of other places. But there's still high levels of crime and deprivation within these areas.
Yeah.
So that's what this book kind of wanted to
now,
highlight.
With regards to that sort of area now, in Victoria, now, you've got all of that there, but the crime is still high.
Yeah.
Is that due to the youth side? Is it a bit of gang warfare there and children not having anywhere to go, so therefore they're getting sort of brought into...
I think it stems back to poverty, Nigel. I think, you know, if your parents are working and they're still not being able to put enough food on the table, and you've got somebody that comes along and says to you, do you want to earn £250 quickly doing this?
Yeah.
It's very easy to, you know, go down the wrong path as opposed to the right path. But what my book was trying to put across is that, you know, there is another way.
I just find the whole book's amazing. I mean, it says at the back of the book here, violence, sexual assaults are part of everyday life, and you need your do-it-yourself kit. Well, that's but then also on the other side of the coin, the safest place to get stabbed in is a bus lane in London. Those cameras are always on, and your postcode dictates where you can walk and who you mix with. That is mad.
It is crazy. But what I will say is to other people, this is my first book and I did do this myself. And if anybody has got a story and they do want to write a book, to go for it, because it took me a long time to have the confidence to do it. But I'm really passionate about helping young people write books like this and get their stories out. So that's going to be the next thing that I aim to do.
This is amazing because you actually, you are, as you say, you're looking for the working class writer. You, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've funded this, you made it work for yourself.
Yeah.
That is awesome because... getting a book that's like this, amazing, and people really do need to read this. But not only that, it's it gives people hope.
Well, I had a passion for it, Nigel, so I think that's the thing. If you've got a passion for writing and getting the stories out there, you will do it. As I say, I'd done this book working full-time and, you know, kind of doing it in my spare time, getting up 5 o'clock and quickly writing things down. But as I say, I'm passionate about getting other children, teenagers, young people to write books and get their stories out there.
When you wrote this book, because obviously you've put a lot of effort into it, how long has it taken roughly? because this was probably near enough starting around COVID time. How long, roughly, for this book to be finalised and ready?
I started writing it properly back in August, and the day that I actually sat and wrote it down was actually the 12th of August, because that was the day that my nan passed away.
Right.
And my nan always said to me to follow my dreams and to write my book. And then when I come home that day, I thought, right, I'm going to do it now. So that was the day that I really thought, no, I'm going to do this. So I started in August. December, I started to tell people, oh, I'm writing a book. And then by the time it got to July, I was like, okay, you need to get this out here now, one way or the other, because I'm quite a determined person. So not that long, but yeah.
Excellent. So we're going to talk a bit more about this book in a moment's time. We'll play another tune and give you a bit of a breather.
Don't give it up.
This unusual combination, this Chicane featuring Bryan Adams, and this is Don't Give Up. A nice little message to Victoria, yeah. Don't give up. Amazing.
Don't give it up.
want your love. I need your love. Yeah, sorry about that. I just had to do that. I'm never any good at that sort of thing. But anyway, now we are in the studio and we are with John. John, introduce yourself, sir.
Hello. Thanks, Nigel. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invitation. My name's John Ratomsky, founder of Iron Supporting Food Banks.
Yep. Okay, and Victoria's still here as well. She's settled down now. I got all flustered. No, you never. No, you never.
It's my first time, Nigel.
Fantastic, you see. Hey, nothing like the first time.
Exactly.
Yeah, it works every time for me. So anyway, now, because we're doing the Irons supporting food banks, we're going to do this quickly. Fantastic. There we are. Oh, there, oh, hang on. We've got Bubble Machine in the studio. On loan from the big stadium over there. There we are. You can talk now. John, amazing what you do. You've got a load of things you want to tell us about. What you're doing is fantastic. And you don't just spread it around, obviously, the Olympic Stadium and things like that. You take this a lot further?
It does, really, yeah. I mean, you know, if I can go back to when we started, we'll have been doing this for 4 years at the end of December. But the plans sort of really started maybe a year before then. West Ham were playing at Liverpool on the opening day of the season, and living in the northwest, I met some of the guys from Spirit of Shankly, and they said, oh, go and have a look at the food bank van at the away end. So I walked down, met a couple of guys there. There was Ian Byrne, who's now the MP for Liverpool West Derby, and Dave Byrne, Dave Kelly. They had a van there, food bank van, and you could see that fans were turning up with bags and bags of food that they were giving to fans supporting food banks.
Yep.
They're collecting now about a ton of food before every game. They do the same at Goodison for Everton games. And whilst I was there, I saw Roy Evans turn up, previous manager of Liverpool, turned up with bags. Players have turned up, Ian Rush, I've seen him turn up with bags. So they get an awful lot of support. And they were saying to me, well, you know, we've got 40,000 here come in, and the same at Goodison. And it was a light bulb moment for me. And I thought, well, we've got 60,000 coming to London Stadium every fortnight. What can they do for the local community? Everybody knows the West Ham fan base, kind-hearted, and what channel we could offer them to support local community, and it started from there. So we started making inquiries. The council didn't get very far with Newham Council. They thought I wanted a trading licence, so they sent me all these forms to fill, and I thought, no, that's not what we're after. And then they came back to me and said, well, we've kind of thought about this, and we're a bit worried because fans might use cans as weapons. Go figure, you know. Anyway, we went beyond that, and I'd identified where we wanted to set up, which was on Stratford Walk between Westfield and the stadium. We reckon there's about 40,000 walking through there. And then I found out that it wasn't, in fact, anything to do with the council. It was London Legacy who operated the whole site.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They were great. They said, fine, let's go with it. But on a match day, it's not us who operate it. You have to speak with LS185. So that was another hurdle. They said, yeah, great. All we want is a health and safety document from you. We'll give you a go. 4 years later, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We hit COVID. Obviously, the lockdown came in March 2020. And we lost our income, basically. We were bringing in about £750 a game in food, value of food and cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lost our income for the last five games of the season because the games were played behind closed doors. So I took a chance and approached David Sullivan.
Yep.
You know, and he basically said, OK, appreciate what you do. How much are you collecting? I said, you know, 750 quid, we've got five games. He said, right, $3,500 going to your account tomorrow. And ever since then, he's supported us.
So it's over £100,000
since now. Since then,
his own money,
of his own cash, from his own back pocket.
And then you've got Mark Noble, and when he was around, obviously,
Mark donated his fees from his column in the Standard.
Yeah,
Declan Rice donated a few £1,000s, and between that and a donation from David Sullivan, they've paid for a van for Newham Food Bank. Thanks. And you do see that driving around the borough.
Fantastic.
Delivering to their various food banks that they
cover. I've seen photos with other players that come along and stand with you and everything else, and that.
The past players come along as well, because they support us, and we've spoken to Carlton Cole, to Ginger Collins, there's a few others that
Tony Gale as well.
Tony Gale knows what we do, and they always say, look, if you need us to do anything for you, contact us through the club. We're quite happy. But the bottom line is, it's the fans that support us.
Can I say something, Nigel?
Really? I'm looking at you like Catherine Tate.
No, right. Considering that John isn't from East London, and he does this all on his own, I think it's pretty amazing what he does.
It is, because really of where helping, he's from.
He's really helping the community. So when I first spoke to him, I was trying to find some winter jackets, wasn't I, for some children, some refugee children that I'd kind of come in contact with, and they had no clothes for the cold winter, because they'd come across from Afghanistan, they had nothing. So I think that John really is amazing for what he does.
Well, yeah. Because you're travelling down here from Cheshire.
Yeah, but it's to see West Ham, of course, you know. So we've
absolutely
got fans coming from overseas and so on. So, you know, as you know, West Ham are massive.
But to give back to the community the way you do is incredible.
Well, we get guidance from fans supporting food banks, and they gave us a lot of advice when we set up.
That's it, isn't it?
That's the way. Yeah, the crossed hammers there. That's really cool, Nigel. We'll make a hammer of you yet.
And we really do need the food banks more than ever.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to be a very, very tough winter.
So it is. It's not just your area. You are spreading out a little bit.
We started 4 years ago with 6 food banks at Newham Food Bank. Now we've developed to close to 50 food banks, but also community groups and also homeless centres. And that's a really big part of what we do now, is supplying homeless people. Mm. And certainly over the last 3 years, I reckon we've delivered over £1 million worth of new clothes. That hasn't cost us a penny.
No.
We get, there's a place near me in Cheshire where I collect a carload of surplus clothing, and they're all cancelled orders, overstock, slight misprints that fail quality control, but everything brand new, and that's about £9,000 worth a month. We've got Umbro, part of the Iconics group, that has given us probably about £100,000 worth of, you name it, training shoes, football boots, caps, coats, rucksacks, jeans, all sort of Lee Cooper stuff. They've got different branded stuff within the group. All that comes was brand new. And then a year ago, we received 9 pallets of new clothing from a company in Peterborough that just had no room to move in their warehouse. And then there's another company as well, a sports company in Stockport, that gives us their samples. So everything's brand new. And we supply homeless centres across East London. We're now working with Dan Skeets from Cool to Be Kind, the charity in Chelmsford.
Yep.
And he gives out rucksacks and warm clothing to rough sleepers in the area. Dan's a season ticket holder at West Ham. So we've got a partnership there. We supply clothes down to Jaywick, to the homeless group at Bethnal Green. And even overseas, we've made 3 or 4 deliveries.
I wouldn't say it's just down the road for me, so I very much appreciate it.
We've sent several shipments out to Ukraine. There's a company down by Stansted Airport that does regular runs. The guy drives a van himself. And at the start of this year, when they had the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, there were some local groups in Newham that were looking for support, so we supplied several thousands of pounds worth of clothes to them. And then more recently, sadly, they had the earthquake in Morocco in early September. The club came along and said, look, will you make this weekend's collection for the Morocco appeal? So we raised £2,500 that weekend. Naif Agwerd, he donated £10,000 of his own cash. And then more recently, we sent a whole bagload of kits from West Ham and Umbro out for the kids, and apparently they've been playing a five-a-side game today in the Atlas Mountains where they had the earthquake.
Fantastic.
I'm due to get a video from the girl out there, and we're getting messages from Nayef and the club supporting him, and you know what's going on in the relief efforts out in Morocco.
It's incredible, because these everyone says that charity begins at home, yeah? Mm. But you're taking it out further from what you're doing.
We're actually going to be going to the ambulance headquarters this week.
London?
Yeah.
I mean, things develop almost, you know, every week, Nigel. We buy our food. With the donations we get, every £500 we get buys a pallet of food worth £2,000 from a food bank in Lincolnshire. Well, not food bank, but a food supplier called His Church. We make a donation to them. They deliver to us. And from time to time, they offer Lindt chocolates, a pallet load. And just last week, they said, John, we've got one pallet left. It's worth £4,000. You can have it for £400. And we thought, well, OK, we're always giving stuff out to food banks, but let's cover the volunteers for a change. So we went to food bank volunteers and said, look, that box is for you.
Yep.
That's kind of developed now. And we took a pile of chocolates to Victoria's Rainbow Ward at Newham Hospital, just for the staff and the nurses.
Yep.
We'd be back in at Christmas with stuff for the children in there at Christmas.
That's cool.
And I went past the paramedic station at the ambulance at Newham, and there were three or four ambulances there, staff waiting for the next call. I pulled up and said, here, guys, have these chocolates from us. You're unsung heroes. You deserve these. Following on from that, I called in at the call centre at Dockside in East London. Just knocked on the door, took him a tray of chocolate, said, look, these are for you guys at the call centre. You're doing a great job. I left my card. An hour later, I got the call from the health and welfare manager at London Ambulance Service. And she said, look, we're really grateful for this. London is split into five areas by the ambulance service, and each area has a specific health vehicle that tours all of the crews, offering hot soup, a debrief, warm words and so on. Could you offer the chocolates to us? I said, yeah. So they've already collected a pallet of chocolates now from us, and they're going into each of those five
trucks.
Yeah. And we're going in there on Thursday. They've asked us to come into Waterloo Road and have a chat with them. And it's just great that it's West Ham fans who are now supporting the whole of the ambulance service across London.
Across London.
It's far reaching. So it's not just the food banks.
No. I know how much that would mean in an ambulance station. Yeah. During COVID and before stuff happened to me, people were coming in locally, young kids, parents, and coming into that and donating stuff for us. And therefore, every ambulance station where we went into, there was always something from local people on the table. Christmas was mad.
Yeah.
Yeah? And, you know, you don't realise, doing this, what we do, that at the end of the day, how much people actually do appreciate what we do. Because when you're out there, you think sometimes, yeah, well, you know, whatever. But it's not actually, people do appreciate it.
Yeah, they do.
And so what you're doing there is fantastic. So well done to you guys.
And we hope to do more. You know, we're always looking for extra volunteers. People can donate, especially with Christmas coming up. We've got a lot of projects that we're going to be working on to really grow this. And I'm going to be joining John because obviously he's been doing it all on his own for such a long time. So I'm hoping that I can come along and help him.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a, yeah, you know, you're mad. You're going mad.
Been a West Ham fan, anyway.
Well, that is well, yeah, no, obviously, but you're driving back to Cheshire tonight. That is what, 3 hours, 4 hours?
Yeah, about 3 hours. Driving
to be quiet. And he's got to drive me home.
Into the east.
But he's never had pie mash. Can you believe that?
Never had pie mash.
Not at all. No.
So one of your favourite foods, isn't it? Food. Yeah.
Pie mash and gravy.
No, what? Oh, dear. No.
Oh, this is another one. David here, he's from Scarborough, yeah?
Right.
And cockles and peas. What is all that about?
But you definitely don't have gravy. You have to have liquor with your pie mash. That is the law. No.
So, Victoria told you now. liqueur.
And chilli vinegar as well.
Chilli, oh yeah, I make my own now, it's fantastic.
Oh, really?
Chilli vinegar, John.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah, that is the way to go. That's rock and roll, mate. So there we are. So that's what I'm like. So anyway, look, you people are fantastic. Victoria, just quickly remind us, is there anything else you want to say, John?
Well, it's just that over time we've got the support of so many of the fan groups. You know, there's the Supporters Club, they do a bucket collection for us on a match day.
Yeah.
We've got the Hammers Chat guys on the moored boat that they've donated. They've bought the best part of 30 grand's worth of food for us from the bucket collections that they do on a match day. We've got stadium staff as well, Russ Budden, who runs the West Ham Network. He and I did a sponsored walk last year from the Bobby Moore statue at Wembley to the statue at the stadium to the one on Green Street to raise money for Easter eggs for last year. 2 days before, David Sullivan Jr. drops me a line and says, I want to walk with you. So he spent the whole day with us walking. He was on his phone talking to his friend, saying, this guy's got a million followers on Instagram. I'm putting messages out. He's passing the phone to me, so speak to this guy. And we collected thousands. And, you know, Dave took his own time to do that. And, you know, we're grateful for that support that we've had. But it's allowed us to as our profile's raised, particularly in the last year or so, we're working with groups that, you know, I wouldn't have thought possible, but we've got these other partnerships. There's the DT38 Foundation, the Lytton Beedies, for testicular cancer. And Dylan's mum, I met her a few weeks back at an event, and I was talking to her about the clothes, and she said, well, we're just about to do a rebranding now, and I can donate all our old clothes to you, brand new clothes, but just, you know, the old branding, to deliver to the homeless centres. So I said, well, okay, what can we do for you? She said, well, if you can give out our leaflets at the same time. So there's a whole bunch going out this week to homeless centres across Essex with awareness leaflets on DT38. Mm. So, you know, that's just a little thing. But I've always got to mention what Neil Taylor does at Hammers for Work.
He's
got
amazing.
An incredible network. He's got 19,000 plus members in his group. Neil did a half marathon earlier this year. Sent us £500. That's bought a £2,000 food pallet for us. We've just supplied them with three boxes of new clothes from Umbro for the local school kids that he looks after, the boys' clubs and so on. And it's ongoing, this partnership. You know, there's always something else. Cool to Be Kind, I've mentioned. But even people are approaching us now to say, can you do this for us, John? Here's another example. You've got the London Stadium where...